Hello and welcome to Mellowpod from the team behind Not Often Heard. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
And we are here to dissect Heat 2 of Melody Festival in 2024, which is Sweden's show, to pick their entry for the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yay, round two, putting the meh in Melfest.
Oh dear, this is going to be a short episode.
But more on that later.
So, Heat 2 comes around and we are off to Göteborg, because not Gothenburg, Göteborg. Because I feel if I'm going to the effort to say Malmö properly, I should pay the same respect to Göteborg by calling it by its
Göteborg.
Name, rather than going and get Gothenburg, like
Gothenburg.
Gothenburg, not Göteborg.
Gothenburg.
sounds nicer.
Now, sound nicer.
A fun fact about Göteborg. It's the 20th time, apparently, they said on the show, that they have hosted a heat. But they have not picked a winner that performed at Göteborg since 2007, when the Ark with The Worrying Kind. So, knowing that, do you think that that is going to change this year?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Okay, well, let's just start with the recap of the six songs in this heat. Here we go, starting with Maria Sir, When I'm Gone. Norland, Engman's Kapell. The Silence After You by Dear Sarah. Sijo Aoma. Dragon by Liamo. Unga und Fria by Fröken Snusk. Well, so, a few of different songs, shall we say, this time.
Yeah.
We will kick off then with Maria Sir, When I'm Gone. A familiar face because she was in it last year. And she's obviously originally from Ukraine. So she was highly thought of last year and went straight through to the final. Do you want to kick us off, Mark? What did you reckon to Maria's second attempt?
Yeah, I like the fact that she changed it up, because last year she did a ballad, didn't she? So she's gone more up-tempo this time. You know, it's a good song. I thought, you know, it's generally very well sung. I thought the staging was excellent with all the lights and the effects, and it was giving me kind of like 1980s Doctor Who opening credits, that sort of vibe.
I thought the staging was actually the best of the night. I loved the laser show that she put on.
Yep. It may be a little one note all the way along, kind of like there was no like troughs or peaks in the performance. I also thought there was not a huge chorus, but you know, it was there just about, I thought. The best thing, I thought, was the hook with the that she did as she was singing love. She was singing the word love and go like when CDs used to skip.
Yeah. What did you think, Alex?
Well, I said stuff. I mean, she's definitely kind of showing that more kind of pop starry quality to it compared to last year. You kind of see that in terms of how she's dressing, how she's interacting with the backup dancers, just the staging of it all. But I feel as though, Mark, I was kind of waiting for there to be this kind of big kind of switch up moment for it, and unfortunately we didn't get one.
I really liked it. I thought she had excellent vocals. She had amazing confidence. She really sold the song. As I said, the staging, I just loved everything about the visuals on that stage, the laser show, an upturned diamond, that kind of thing is going off, and the kind of sea of smoke, and the way they were using all the kind of beams and light and stuff. You know, really good. It is an earworm, but I have to say it did take until the second listen for it to kind of embed almost for me. Which isn't always a good thing, I suppose, at Eurovision, as we keep saying. No. You've got 3 minutes, you've got to make your mark. You've got to be memorable on that first impression. I like it. Do I like it as much as last year's? Not quite, but it's still a very, very good effort, I think.
Yeah.
It's a really good song. It's well sung. I think, like we said and like Alex said, I think it was just, I don't know, I felt like I was waiting for something. A bit of extra something to kick in.
Yeah. The thing is, I've found is that, you know, Sweden always does really well when it comes to Eurovision. And so far, I haven't yet had any of them. Well, we'll get some of those eventually. There haven't been many that have given me that kind of big wow moment yet from a Eurovision performance.
So shall we move on to song number two then, which is Engman's Kapell with Norland. This is a group that's been together about 30 odd years, but this is the first time that they've entered Melfest. And they are singing about missing Norland, which is kind of the top part. Apparently Norland, the area, I'm sure... Mark, you might be able to speak more about this than I do. I don't know how much research you've done. But apparently only 10% of the population live up there, but it takes up more than half of the country.
I can imagine. It's probably pretty chilly there for most of the year.
There was a bit later on where the comedian Bjorn was wandering through a weather studio. And did you see the weather map? Minus 18 up at the north.
Oh, and that's milder than what it's been, because I know, back in January at the start of 2024, Norway, Sweden and Finland were in a grip of a massive Arctic blast. Like, some parts of Finland, Norway and Sweden were getting as low as, like, minus 35, which is almost unheard of. And we're talking kind of like in the, like, even in the minus 20s in the southern parts of the countries as well.
Wow, I mean, does it say something about this song that I'm finding that more fascinating than what I've just heard? We've sidetracked onto weather going, oh my God, it's so cold.
Oh God, isn't it? It's chilly. Ooh, like proper Brits talking about the weather.
But basically, is it the equivalent of us going, I want to get back to Manchester, to the north?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it depends. If we'd been in London or somewhere like that for too long, I'd probably start feeling the same way.
In terms of the song, what did you think, though? Alex, you go first.
I mean, again, it's not a bad song. You know, I like the staging of it. I like it's got a bit of a hook to it. It's something that's a little bit different from our usual kind of poppy songs that we usually get, so it stands out. But again, not really that kind of, not really a wow moment to speak of. That's not to say it's a bad song.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they performed it very well. It's just...
Yeah, music is so
what
subjective.
What else is there?
Yeah, you're right. You know, I didn't particularly... Yeah. It's not my kind of thing at all. Fiddle? Nah. No, thank you.
Yeah. I'll put it this way, and Mark will get this reference, because we both watch Sorted Food on YouTube, and I'm paraphrasing a phrase that they use on it, and it is, where's the hook?
Mark, do you have any kind words?
Oh, not really. Yeah, it was perfectly pleasant. I don't really think I can say much more. It isn't my taste. It's not my taste. And, you know, I don't know. I feel really bad, but I felt like it was a bit beige.
It was, yeah, it was just kind of there. But that's just because it's just not the kind of music that appeals to us. So, you know, just because the three of us are going meh about it, I'm sure there are a lot of people that are hugely successful, you know, in Norland.
Absolutely.
There are loads of fans out there. And I did wonder if that could maybe drive the votes and that could actually, you know, see them get a really good score. And we'll find out later on how that pans out. But then when I read about only 10% of the population living up in that area, I thought, yeah, might be a struggle. Yeah. Not sure. Wasn't sure how much impact they had on the rest of the country.
No. Yeah.
Okay, on to song number three then. Dear Sarah, The Silence After You. Now, speaking of the North, apparently she is from the northernmost town in Sweden. I can't remember the name of it. And she's Swedish Sami. Her dad, Yoiks, apparently.
Oh, okay.
So,
that sounds like an insult, but it's obviously not.
It's a form of, you know, kind of made a career out of it.
Pop Yoik. That's what I say. Her dad, Yoiks.
I mean, for me, I thought this had some nice effects and staging, some, you know, augmented reality type stuff going on at the beginning. And there was this ball of light swinging around, which reminded me a bit of a performance I saw in Finland later on. When we looked at UMK, their national final. And it was nice to see Carola's wind machine getting a bit of work and giving Dear Sarah a blast towards the end of the song. For me, I thought it was well sung, and it was that kind of breathy, gentle vocal quality. But as we keep saying, there's no wow for me on this one. It's pleasant. If I had to describe it in one word, pleasant. Would I listen to it again? Not sure.
Damned by faint praise.
is it more your kind of thing, Mark? Is it something you would listen to again?
Probably not. again, nicely sung, although I thought she was a bit mumbly at times. But again, like you said, she was going for that kind of breathy, very kind of like gentle vocal. But I felt like the song would have really benefited from someone with more in their voice to give it a bit of force. You know, The Silence After You, and that title can be interpreted in lots of different ways. And I felt like it needed a bit more emotion behind it. Not necessarily, I think she performed it well, and she was given the hand gestures and everything, but the vocal, I felt, could have just needed more oomph for that sort of song.
And maybe it doesn't help that, you know, a couple of songs earlier, you'd see Maria, you know, young female soloist again. You know, very good staging, throwing herself around the stage, blasting out with a slightly more up-tempo. So it's a bit difficult. It's difficult when you've got artists which are, you know, similar in some ways, but, you know, the songs are quite different. Alex, what do you think about it?
I feel kind of the same way as Mark does about it, really. It's not a bad song. I thought at times she was a bit mumbly and at other times a bit pitchy, really.
Fair enough. We shall move on then.
I'm sorry to all our listeners. It just doesn't seem much else to.
What's you kind of negative? We're difficult to please say this week, aren't we?
We are.
I'm sorry.
I was wondering.
I did warn you.
I was wondering this morning. I was thinking, gosh, have I fallen out of love with Melfest?
Is it because you started watching some other national finals here and there? And you're starting to see the quality you're seeing at other events and think, ooh.
Well, I mean, the only other one we watched last night was UMK. And I did not watch it all. But the bits that I did watch, I thought the songs were better than I saw last night in Sweden. And I know that was like a final and that for Finland, and this is just a heat. But yeah, it made me think, gosh, am I being spoiled by other national finals?
Possibly. Song number four, then. Seijo. Oh, my. Come on, kick us off, Alex.
This is where I feel we start seeing a bit of an improvement in the quality. It's got a good hook to it. The staging I really like. He's got some killer moves.
Mm.
Not the strongest singer of the night.
Yeah, I would
but
agree.
I didn't mind that. I thought it was a good song. I really liked this one. And I really wanted this one to do well.
Mark?
I thought it had the potential to be really, really good. I really liked the song, but I didn't like his vocals. I don't think he sung it as well as he could have done, I don't think. But I really like the hook, and I like the kind of like the vibe it's given me. It's almost a little bit kind of like Latin flavored, and you know I'm here for that. I liked it, and I thought it was catchy. Yeah. It was fun, but I just wanted a better vocal on it.
Yeah. So the artist Seijo is from Sierra Leone, so we got a bit of Afrobeat, and we don't actually see Afrobeat that often. At Melfest, it doesn't feel like. So this did stand out for me. I was like, "Oh, I've not heard this for quite a while." You're absolutely right. It's got that hook, that catchy chorus that you can pick up after the first hearing. You know it, and that's very good. That's a very positive sign. It reminded me a bit of Haba Haba from Norway a few years ago, which is similar vibe. Stella Moenge. It's a great fun bop. You know, that gets your toe tapping. It's something that makes you happy.
Yeah.
But you're right, the vocal, not the best. I think it felt like there was a backing vocal track throughout for him, and he was singing over the top of that. And maybe it is. Maybe he's, you know, just one of these artists that, you know, sometimes live he needs a bit of help with it. But yeah, I did like that one. That was like, ooh, yeah. This has put me in a good mood.
Yeah, I think you're right. It just stands out as being something very different to anything else that had been on previously. And something that you really don't see very often in Melfest. You're right. It was a toe-tapper. It was catchy. And he was having the time of his life, you know. Really, really good.
Is this going to be your new Latin pop, you know? I love it. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Give me more Afrobeat. Come on.
On to song number five, then. Leamo and Dragon. So this is the fourth time we've seen Leamo. And he has always gone direct to the final when he's competed before. He was also in it last year as a songwriter. He was on Royals. It was done by Paul Ray.
Yeah.
And yesterday we started the Year of the Dragon as well.
Mm.
So it was all, you know, kind of, it felt like it was all, set up for that. It was like, right, can I be in Heat 2, please? Because my song's Dragon and it's the Year of the Dragon starts on that Saturday. Come on then, Alex. Did you like the health and safety nightmare that was that pyro?
I mean, our friend Dan last night described the staging as being like barbecue grills stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, it is.
there was like, ooh, they brought fire into this. It was like, of course they brought fire into it. It's a song about dragon. What else were we going to expect? I mean, it's just sort of like thinking like how much fire stuff can I put in like one staging?
I mean, we should be grateful they didn't go full on by putting a plastic dragon on or something. We just got the shadow of a dragon.
Yeah, I think that was more effective.
If the BBC team had been doing it, we would have had a polystyrene dragon being wheeled on or something.
Yeah.
We've had something like, You know how you see like Chinese dragons in like New Year celebrations? Mm-hmm. We'd have had something like that if it would have been the BBC.
Gosh.
Oh dear. I thought the pyro things, and I don't. This might have been Dan that said this as well. He said that they also look a little bit like patio heaters.
Maybe they're throwing a few steaks on there, and a bit smelled meaty and kind of nice, barbecuey after he'd performed. We're like, God, I'm hungry now. But what about the song?
Oh, what about the song? I thought it was really good. I thought he sung it very well. This was not one note. There were peaks. There were troughs. He was putting a lot of energy into it. And you know what? He looks good on the stage.
Is he wearing a cape?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a cape?
He's got like a little bit like a... He's got a bit of like a...
sort of thing, isn't it?
A swatch of fabric, just sort of...
A semi-cape.
Yeah.
It's giving very sort of like, this is my Dungeons & Dragons character.
Yeah, it's a little bit... I was going to say, it reminded me of almost like a Highland outfit, almost. That kind of like the thing, the swag that they have over the shoulder. Yeah. But for me, that was the best song up to that point. That was the best song of the night for me. And yeah, I really liked it.
I thought it was the best. It's my favourite song that he's done so far in Melfest, actually. I think
I prefer Bluffin, but but that was very good last night, Dragon.
I thought it was really impressive with the stage, and we talked about that enough. he put in an excellent vocal, and there was absolutely no doubt that he was going to be dropping out. At this stage, we had high expectations just because of his track record, and I thought he delivered on every front.
Mm-hmm. He was a shoo-in.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So, on to the final one then. Song number 6, Fröken Snusk, Young and Free, is what the title translates as. And another debutant. Now, the genre that Fröken Snusk does apparently is epadunk, epadunk or epadunk.
I read that.
What does that even mean?
I've never heard of that.
Well, it's apparently a cross between electronic dance music and a type of Swedish rock. So maybe that's why we haven't heard, because it's perhaps a local thing. It's something that's big in Sweden that hasn't made its way out yet. Now, ahead of this, there's been some stuff in the newspapers, apparently, because she was something like the ninth Swedish artist ninth most popular Swedish artist on Spotify last year. And she was releasing a song almost every week at one point. And there have been allegations that purchased streams have helped propel her to that. But nothing has been proven. It's only an allegation. Very distinctive look, because it's one of these artists like Camphor Drops where you do not see their face. She wears a pink balaclava the whole time.
Uh-huh.
You don't know who she is, so you get that air of mystery.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it felt almost like it was a sea shanty especially when you get to the chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is almost, sea shanty Ace of Base territory at some points for it. But I'm surprised. I thought this was just going to be gimmicky. I thought that, pink balaclava and stuff, and you've got a giant flipping model of a horse that you're straddling, and this pink PVC for your dancers and tutus, and it's all very pink neon. Etc. Gimmick. But I actually found myself quite liking the song.
Yeah, as I said, that's how I felt.
You know, particularly the chorus.
Yeah. Like I said, Liamu, up to that point, had been my favourite song. And then this came on. And I wasn't expecting to like it. I was a little bit like you, Gary. I was thinking, oh, this is going to be a gimmick. I'm wearing a balaclava. Oh, she's all in pink. It's just going to be gimmick, gimmick, gimmick. But actually, I was like, I think she had one of the best vocals of the night. She had loads of energy. That kind of like pink and blue neon, that like light in the back of the stage, I thought was really effective.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I found myself really, really liking it. And I was quite surprised about that.
What about you, Alex?
Yeah, this was my favourite one. This was my absolute favourite of the night. This was, where's the hook? Here's the hook. I've got my ski mask on. I'm riding a pink plastic horse. My backup dancers are in these, like, pink PVC outfits. I've got boys wearing skirts and corsets. It was great. The whole thing was really well done. And it was a catchy song.
It's memorable. It sticks out. Mm-hmm. Which obviously is what you want for something like this.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I can imagine an audience full of people at Eurovision, should that win, full of wearing balaclavas.
Yeah.
I can imagine it being that security nightmare. Like, nobody wear your balaclava when you're going through security, please. We need to see who you are. Save it for when you get in.
Yeah.
Oh dear. I mean,
it's the Barbie Insurgents, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
That's what I'm calling it.
Oh dear. Wow, so that's our six songs. The interval act then this week. We had Lotta Engberg being inducted into the Melody Festival and Hall of Fame. Now, she famously sang Fula Booger or in Coca-Cola back in 87 for Sweden, which she had to change it because Fula Booger and Coca-Cola translates as four chewing gums and a Coke, please, basically. But they're like, no. We can't have Coca-Cola in there because it's a brand and we can't be seen to be advertising. Mm-hmm. So it got changed to Boogaloo. Okay, yeah, just a made up word like diggy loo diggy lay, it's in that kind of vein.
Diggy da.
Yes. I was kind of disappointed that then somebody sang a version of her song which was just boring, basically. She's right there. Why is she not? Because if this was Corolla would be like, I'm singing my song and I'm doing a banging electro pop version of it. But no, Lotta was reduced to sitting in the audience and just had to watch.
She was singing along though, wasn't she? You could see, well, she certainly might. Her lips were moving as the people were singing it. But yeah, it was a bit of a dull rendition. It was kind of like, people seem to think, some of these producers of these TV shows and things like that seem to think that this is what people want. No, we want, if we can't have the original, we want a banging update. We don't, as you say, Gary, we don't need things John Lewisifying.
Exactly. I'm glad you're coming around to my point of view. On to the results then. As usual, we had the vote lines were stopped and we announced the direct qualifier without revealing any kind of votes or tally or anything like that. And I don't think it was any surprise when it was Liamo that was announced as going direct to finale. I mean,
none at all.
Did we all expect that he would be the first name called? They wouldn't make him wait and tease.
No, we were going to make him wait for that.
I kind of thought it was either going to be Liamu or Maria Sir. It was going to be one or the other, I thought for sure.
Yeah, so no surprises there. We expected him to qualify and it's probably easier just to get him out of the way because then you've still got a little bit of, jeopardy in your second round of like, who's going to go through?
Yeah.
So lines reopen and then we get our second result. So breaking it down, our second director finale is Maria Sir.
Again.
expected.
Very. It's
I'd say so.
They were the shoo-ins, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, and have you seen the vote breakdown? So amongst all the age groups, including the telephone vote, the only age group that did not give Maria a 12 was the 16 to 29-year-olds. They gave her 10.
Interesting. But still, yeah.
Otherwise, a clean sweep. Even the older age groups, I thought that Norland was going to be picking up more points in that demographic, 60+. But they didn't.
Yeah. No. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Not what I expected. I honestly did not think Maria would get that many 12s out of it.
We've talked a little bit about this before, and I think we've talked about it on the radio show as well, how they kind of like stop the voting, and the person in the lead that actually says, right, you've qualified now in this first round of voting, off you pop, see you later, well done. But you kind of think, with Maria then getting all those 12s, was it Liamo that was on top? I mean, presumably he must have been.
Yeah, he'd got the most. Yeah. He had the most votes at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the system, I feel like that method is a bit flawed, because you kind of think if you just do one round of voting for the whole thing, you kind of then think, well, would Maria have gotten all of those 12s? Or would Leo have gotten some? And would it have then overall have made it a bit more of a closer competition? It's an interesting way of doing it. I'm not sure it's the right way. I'm not sure it's wrong either. I'm just putting it out there. it's an unusual way of doing it, but they must have their reasons for it.
Okay, so that's our finalists. Now, second chances, I was less sure. I thought Fröken Snusk was going to be going second chance. I was reasonably confident. And obviously that's what happened. Looking at the vote breakdown, picks up 10s and 12s right up until age 44. Then the 45+, it drops off. 5, 3, 3, as you get older, it drops. So clearly, 44 and under, get it. Like it, not so much the older demographic, but it was enough to propel her into actually fourth place overall.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that we're not saying goodbye to Fröken Snusk just yet.
Yeah, I'm glad too.
But not, I thought she might have squeaked to director finale, to be honest. I was like, there's a small chance that maybe Maria, you know, just gets edged out by a local artist.
Yeah, I kind of, when I saw the performance, I thought, oh, actually, she's pretty good. Maybe she will get the direct to final. Obviously, she didn't. Mm. Yeah.
And the second going to Andrew Hansen, was Dear Sarah, The Silence After You. Mm. Did anybody have that one picked?
I think it was definitely good enough to be seen again and to be heard again. I do think it was good enough for that.
See, I wasn't sure. I thought maybe the Afrobeat Cijo may have actually pipped her to the post on that one.
I think if his vocals had been better, then maybe.
Better, yeah.
I think that's probably what let him down a little bit, which is a shame because, like I said, I did enjoy that song. But I think that let him down a bit.
Okay, so we come to the end of another show. Now, do you think we've seen a winner here? Even amongst the second chances, could Fröken Snusk, you know, go through a second chance round, get to the final and win it for the first time since 2013? When Robin did it?
Maybe.
Could momentum build?
Momentum could build.
Possibly.
You never know, Dee. I mean, in this game of national finals and, you know, some of the other songs that have qualified and have gone through to Eurovision from other countries, there seems to be a few odd songs going through. Quirky, shall we call them?
Yes.
And the quirky performances and things like that. So you, maybe this is, you know, 2024 will be the year of quirk.
Maybe.
Shall wait and see. Right, that is about it from us for another edition. We hope you've enjoyed it. We certainly have.
Yes.
On to Heat 3 next week then. Let's see if we have something more that's perhaps a bit more past street.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.